Hello and welcome to the OT Schoolhouse Podcast, your source for school-based occupational therapy tips, interviews, and professional development. Now, to get the conversation started, here is your host, Jason Davies. Class is officially in session.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 98 of the OT Schoolhouse Podcast. Thank you so much for being here today. We actually have a very special guest. However, he may be a little quiet here with me today. This is the first episode that I am recording as a new dad. And joining me right now within my Mobi, which is a wrap. If you're a parent, you probably know what that is my son, Kyler Kiyoshi Davies. This is the very first episode that I am recording as a father now. All the other episodes that you've heard leading up to today were actually recorded previously before he was born. However, now he is about 3 weeks old as I am recording this. And yeah, I'm excited to do this. He is here. He may make a peep or a few cooing or crying noises. So you may hear that throughout this episode, but I'm excited to have him here with us. I'm excited to share him with all of you. And I'm sure you will be a part of his journey growing up a little bit through social media and through this podcast. It's going to give me a whole new topic to talk about a little bit over the air, over the podcast. So I'm excited for that. But today we are here to continue our ABCs of school-based OT, or ABCs of OT for OT month in April. So this is the third installment of our ABCs of OT, and we are covering letters N through letter T today. So N, O, P, Q, R, S, and T. We have seven letters to get through today. So before we get into letter N, I just want to give a quick reminder to everyone that the OT Schoolhouse Back to School Conference is going to be happening in August, August 26th and 27th. That's a Friday and a Saturday. And right now, you can get registered for this event at a special OT month discount during the month of April. You can head on over to otschoolhouse.com/conference to learn more about that. We are going to have six presenters, including myself, talking all about school-based OT and how to improve and enhance collaborative practices within school-based OT to support student success. We're going to be talking a little bit about sensory, a little bit about visual impairments and visual processing and ocular motor skills. We're going to be talking about building a collaborative OT toolbox, and I will be helping to talk about how to make the shift to a more collaborative model within your practice. So if you want to join us for the OT Schoolhouse Back to School Conference in August, be sure to check it out at otschoolhouse.com/conference. Hope to see you in August. All right, so let's go ahead and kick off the second half of the alphabet with the ABCs of OT. And more specifically, what I like to say, the ABCs of school-based OT, because of course, that's what we're talking about here at the OT Schoolhouse. So letter N. For letter N, I have decided to use the word notes. All of us as occupational therapists or occupational therapy practitioners, we have to write notes about our treatments. However, when it comes to writing notes in the school-based setting, it's a little bit different, I have found, from other settings where you are billing directly to the insurance for a particular client, patient, whatever you want to call them. So in the schools, we don't typically, you know, we don't get insurance information from every kid that we see. Sometimes we do collect Medi-Cal or Medicare information if it's available, but no student is required to have insurance in order to get the services that they require for school-based occupational therapy. Therefore, our notes are really more for ourselves. Now, that doesn't make them any less important or any less meaningful than if we were submitting them to the insurance to get reimbursed for that. Most districts do actually submit for reimbursement to, again, Medicare. In California, we call that Medi-Cal, so that's why you hear me say Medi-Cal. Of course, in California, we have to do things a little bit differently. Anyways, but back to the notes. In school-based occupational therapy, our notes are primarily for us. They're kind of a way to CYA, cover your own behind, you know, to make sure that if someone were to come back and say, hey, you didn't see my kid this many times for the 2021 school year, or whatever, you could go back to your notes and say, look, yes, I did. This is what I did with your student. I have it documented and it's all here. It's also your way to keep track of those progress on goals for you to write into your notes once a month or however often you need to. Put in there, the student met the goal in one out of two opportunities during this session, or whatever it might be. You have those specific notes for you. And oftentimes, I found no one ever sees my notes. The only time anyone ever sees my notes is when a particular student's case goes to trial or parents request all the documents for that student. Sometimes the notes will go with that. But other than that, our notes are really for us. Oftentimes, if a district does have us do billing, it's in a different platform. Some districts have gotten to the point where they kind of combine those platforms where you write your notes and bill on the same online platform, but that's not the case everywhere. And even then, most of the time, those notes aren't getting read by anyone. It's more the just the fact that we put those in there that they are getting billed. So when it comes to notes, a little bit about what we should be documenting, I do still use mostly a traditional SOAP note, right? You have the subjective, the objective, the action, and the plan. I kind of go with that for the most part. I might adjust it a little bit, but I like doing that because you get a little bit of each part, right? You get to document how the patient, or in this case, our student was feeling that day, maybe what you saw about that student, maybe what the student said. Then you talk about what you objectively observed with the student. And maybe you are putting into that objective the data. What data did you collect from there? With your action, what did you do that was therapeutic? And then what is your plan for the next session or moving forward? I find that the plan, that P, is often left out. And unfortunately, when we leave that P out, it makes our job more difficult, because if we don't plan now for the next session, and it doesn't need to be an all full out plan, like this is exactly what I'm going to do, but just a little bit of an idea of, all right, I saw this week, what's the next step? That way, next week on Wednesday, when your session's on Thursday, Wednesday night, you're like, what am I doing tomorrow? You can really quickly look at that, your SOAP note from the last week, and kind of get an idea for what you need to work on the next day. So that's going to cover notes. I actually went on a little bit longer than I expected to on notes, but I'm glad I did, because that is something that we all have to do. And, you know, it's something that it's mostly for us, but also, like I mentioned earlier, CYA, do your notes, don't fall behind, and also make sure that you schedule your notes on your calendar, time to do your notes. I mean, if you can't fit it in the last 5 minutes before the end of the session or whatever it might be, schedule time on your calendar, because it is part of your workload and you need to have time to do those. Otherwise, you will fall behind. All right. So that covers notes. And for letter O, we have observations. Now, if you have ever attended one of my evaluations webinars that I do online occasionally a few times a year, you know that I am big on observations. And for me, there's two different types of observations that are a part of every single evaluation. There are structured observations where we pull a student out and we are able to kind of control the environment. And then there are in classroom observations or in context observations where we are going to see the student in their natural setting. So observations are big for every single evaluation. We should not be doing an evaluation without at least one in context observation. By getting into the classroom, getting into the cafeteria, recess, wherever it might be that we know that the student is having a little difficulty. We must see them wherever that struggle, that inability to access the environment is happening. So that's observations. What I look for when I do my observations, like as I just mentioned, the context, in context in the classroom, I'm really looking for the big picture. Is the student succeeding? What are they succeeding at? What are they not succeeding at potentially in the classroom or wherever you might be doing your observation? And then in the more structured observations where I'm able to pull that student out into my own OT room or even out to an area that I can just control a little bit, then I look more at the details. You know, I'm just going to use it, the handwriting grip, right? I'm not going to go into a classroom to look at a child's handwriting grip, or at least that's not what I'm really looking for when I do my my classroom observation, I'm looking to see more of like, are they actually able to get writing onto a paper, if that's the concern, right? But then once I get them out into my structured observation, that's my opportunity to break down that task a little bit more, to look at the pencil grasp, or to look at, are they using both hands, one hand to support the paper, the other to write. That's where I get more into the details. All right, so one final point when it comes to observations, I really like to do my in-class observations before my pull-out structured observations, especially when it is an initial OT evaluation for a student. And that's because I can do my in-context, my in-classroom observations while the student doesn't know who I am, doesn't recognize me, and hopefully won't try and quote-unquote show off for me. If I do those structured observations before I get into the classroom, then that student now knows me. And when I'm going into the classroom, you can kind of bet that they're going to be looking and be like, oh, hey, you know, I worked with you yesterday in a pullout. Obviously, you're in here to observe me. So let me show off a little bit. Or even just, you know, it's almost like that flight or flight syndrome, right? You either get the kid that shows off or the kid that just like does nothing. And so that's why I like to get my in-classroom observation done first before I move to my structured observation. And talking about those push-in observations or classroom observations, that leads perfectly to our letter P, which stands for push-in model. Now, the push-in model may also be synonymous with collaboration or collaborative model, which is kind of, you know, getting into the classroom rather than focusing on always pulling a student out of the classroom into the OT room or into the lunchroom, wherever you have your space. It may be a hallway at your school. But instead of doing that, instead of working with a student one-on-one, the push-in model is about getting into the classroom to see what a student is doing in the classroom and helping them be successful within that classroom. Now, the push-in model is different from observations. We were just talking about in letter O, in-class observations. For those, you might stand back, right? You're going to maybe stand by the door, walk around the classroom, but you're not interacting. With the push-in model of therapy services, you are interacting. Now, you may be interacting with one student. You may be interacting with a group of students. You may be interacting kind of with one student as well as with the teacher because they have such an important relationship, right? That student-to-teacher relationship. Maybe you're helping them both build a relationship and both understand each other to build upon successes that maybe you had in a pull-out model. But either way, when you're going into the classroom, you're really there to actually do therapy, not observe. The push-in model is actually a therapeutic model as opposed to an observation, which takes place during an evaluation to see what is going on, where the student is right now. So one of the things that I really like to do with the push-in model is first, I like to collaborate with the teacher on whatever the goal is that we're working on. I want to make sure that the time that I schedule on my calendar to get into that classroom every week, every other week, whenever it might be, is related to the goal that we have for the student. For instance, if that goal has to do with socialization, then I want to make sure I get in there during maybe a group time. If it has to do with handwriting, obviously I don't want to go in during math time. So you need to work with your teachers to find out when the best time is to go in. Now, when I go in, I'm not necessarily sitting right next to the student. Sometimes I'm actually doing more of a larger group collaboration with the teacher where I'm helping co-teach with the teacher, maybe a specific lesson. But other times I do go in there for one specific student, but even then, maybe I don't sit directly with that student. I kind of maybe work within the group that that student is in. Of course, there are some times where I do go in and I do sit right next to that student because that's what we need to do for that student. Now, I'm not sitting there as an aide telling them exactly what to do and just hand over handing everything. No, that's not what I'm doing. I am finding the just right challenge for whatever they are working on as it pertains to the goal that we are working on. So it takes a little bit of use to doing this type of model because you have to find that sweet part, that sweet spot, I should say, between being a nuisance to the teacher or a nuisance to the student, but you also don't want to be an aide. You are not a one-on-one aide for the student. You are there to help the student to meet their goals, right? You're not just there to give the student the answers. You are there to push the student forward, per se. All right, so that covers the push-in model. And that is three of the four that we are covering today. N for notes, O for observations, P for push-in model. Now, this next one is a little outside the box. You know, Q is always a difficult letter to do when it comes to the ABCs of OT, or really the ABCs of anything. And I thought about this one a little bit, and I really like it. Because sometimes, as occupational therapists, we get in a rut where we feel like every session has to be different. We have to do something different for the student this week that we did last week. It can't be the same activity, right? Well, wrong. And that's why letter Q, I have quest, because I want to take our students on a quest a little bit. I want to combine sessions together to meet that overarching goal. And I have a great story to tell about this, because we had a student, and the primary goal for her was to get language written down on a paper, whether it be handwriting, typing, whatever it might be. She had a lot of difficulty with organizing. Handwriting was very labored, very sloppy. We were moving toward a computer or even speech to text. But, you know, the last thing this student, who I don't think she was diagnosed, but probably really did have ADHD, she could not sit in front of a computer and just like do typing practice, right? That wasn't even an option really, because it was just too boring for her per se. So what did we do? We started a quest, and this quest for a long period of time, almost actually it was basically started right before the pandemic and kind of took us through the entire time of the pandemic, was to write a book. And we went through the entire process from planning the book to writing the book to illustrating the book. I mean, we spent a lot of time just developing an outline for the book and going through the organizational skills that it takes to develop an outline. And that is something that she's going to use for the rest of her life, right? I still use outlines when I'm creating these podcast episodes. YouTubers make outlines for their videos, right? Understanding how to make an outline and then going from there. What is the next step? What is the next step? How do we prevent ourselves from going from letter A to letter G, right? We need to go A, B, C, D. We got to go in order. And that is something that you can do within your therapy sessions. Maybe you do end up doing step one for an entire month, right? If you see a student once a week, you do step one on week one. You do step one on week two, and you're repeating the same things. That's okay. It's not practice, it is therapy. Well, I mean, it could be either, but for the most part, if you are leading the student down a quest, there's a longer range goal, then that's okay. You are slowly moving through the process of meeting the student's goal. Don't feel like you have to have a whole new activity, a whole new craft, a whole new lesson plan for every single session that you meet with a single student. It's okay to spread things out a little bit and to make them longer lessons that occur over time. That's perfectly fine. So quest, Q for quest, take your students on a bit of a quest in order to meet their long-term goals. And of course, after letter Q comes letter R. And for letter R, if you have listened to this podcast more than a few times, you know I am a big advocate for RTI, response to intervention, or as it's often called, RTI2, response to intervention and instruction. RTI is something that OTs have historically not been a big part of, but I think that we need to be more part of RTI. Oftentimes you'll hear of MTSS, which is multi-tiered support services. Sorry, I was trying to throw an L in there. But RTI, MTSS, they're often synonymous. But oftentimes you might hear an A or a B added after MTSS or RTI. They're basically the same thing, RTI and MTSS. But A and B referring to academic or behavior. But what about the other aspects of school, right? What about the actual functional activities that we so often work on as school-based occupational therapists? Now, we can support students not just through the IEP process. In fact, IDEA says that we can actually work with students as a preventative model. And that's exactly what RTI is. We can go into a classroom, maybe support a teacher and co-lead a group on handwriting or a group on typing or a group on organizational skills, something like that. And we could potentially help all 30 kids in that classroom rather than a single kid in that classroom. Now, I'm a huge believer in RTI, and I really think that you should learn more about RTI. And if you would like to learn more about RTI, instead of going on a 30-40 minute rant right here about RTI, I'm actually going to refer you back to episode number 42, I believe it was, where I go in depth into the three tiers of RTI. So check out that episode and learn more about RTI. I really do see it as the future of occupational therapy in schools, and I really think that it'll help you out to know more about it. And now that brings us to our second to last letter for today, which is S. And for S, we are talking about screenings, not evaluations, screenings. Yeah, just screenings. That's it. Just screenings. All right. Sorry. Allen Iverson got to my head right now. Practice, not a game. Practice. No, we're talking about screenings. And when it comes to screenings, screenings are very different from evaluations. And this is a hard one for many people, not just occupational therapists, but for people in education in general to understand the difference between a screening and an evaluation. And it's very important to understand the difference between a screening and an evaluation because A, they're different, and B, if you do one in place of the other, it could get you in a little bit of a predicament. So yeah, you want to make sure that when you are doing an evaluation, you're actually doing an evaluation. And when you are doing a screening, you are doing a screening. Now, the question that I often get is, Jason, do you do screenings? And my answer to this is twofold because yes, I do screenings, but I do not do screenings of individual students. I do evaluations for individual students. I do screenings for entire classrooms or entire grade levels. Think about vision screenings. I'm using vision screenings because it's pretty consistent across the United States, I think, that in certain grade levels, all students do a vision screening, right? Well, notice, I just kind of said the definition in there. All students do the screening. They don't pick and choose a few students out of different classes who the teacher thinks is having difficulty seeing the board and only send those students to do the screening. No, they screen all the kids in second grade or all the kids in kindergarten. That is the definition of screening. When every single student or at least every single student within a classroom is given the opportunity to do that quote unquote test, if you want to call it that. Now, obviously, that's different from an evaluation because an evaluation is individualized. Now, I'm not going to go into evaluations. We are on letter S, not letter E. So we are talking about screenings. So what might it look like then if someone asks for a screening? So rather than screening an individual student to determine if that student needs an evaluation, I don't think that is what we should be doing based upon how I have interpreted IDEA and ESSA as well. But what I can do is help a teacher out by screening their entire classroom. If a teacher comes to me and says, hey, I have this student named Johnny, I really want you to come take a look at him, I will gladly let them know the process for referring the student for an OT evaluation. But if they come to me and say, hey, I have several students in my classroom and they're struggling with this, can you come and help me? I'd be happy to come in, observe or screen their classroom a little bit. A screen could be an observation, or it could also potentially be getting a handwriting sample from all of their students and kind of looking at all the handwriting samples, not too in depth, but just enough to get an idea for maybe what they need a little support in. And then I can meet up with that teacher at a later time and we can develop some ideas. Maybe I just give her or him some strategies, or maybe I end up co-teaching with that teacher for a few lessons, whatever it might be. Now, the other thing that has come out of a screening, say I do go into a classroom and I do see one student or maybe even two students that I do feel like need a evaluation for occupational therapy or even something else, speech, or just a psychoeducational evaluation, then I do have the right and actually I have the responsibility to speak up and to help that teacher go through the process of potentially referring that student. Of course, I'm going to follow whatever the guidelines are for the district or the school that I'm working in, but that is the case. Again, that is different from the teacher saying, hey, I want you to come in and see Johnny. That was not the intent. I went in there to see her entire classroom. I happened to find Johnny or said student while I was in the classroom, and then I helped the teacher go through the evaluation, or not the evaluation, but the referral process with or for Johnny, I should say. So letter S, screenings. To kind of keep it short for you, to recap everything, the way that I like to say it is screenings are for classrooms or even grade levels. Evaluations are for individual students. I think that's a pretty good way to kind of remember it. You know, one is for classrooms and grade levels or even an entire school potentially, although it's hard to get to that level of a screening. And then evaluations are for individual students. And that brings us to our final letter for today, which is a fun one, or at least I hope it is fun for you. It is team meetings. We all need to have them. I was about to say we all have team meetings, but I know that's not the case. Some of us work in very small districts and we don't have the opportunity to have team meetings. And when I say team meetings, I'm talking about those OT meetings or maybe even a related service meeting where you meet with the other related service providers like the speech therapist and the PTs or maybe even the school psychologist. You know, we should all have some sort of team meeting. And now with the ability with everyone understanding how to use Zoom, team meetings should be a must. Even if they're not in person, we should all be meeting with other OTs. Now, if you are in a small district where maybe you're the only OT, I would encourage you to reach out to the surrounding OTs in other districts, other counties, other co-ops, other SELPAs, depending on what your county departments are called and county of education departments in different states. They're all called something different. But reach out to other OTs and say, hey, you know what? What are you doing? Maybe one Friday afternoon a month or every other month even. Let's get together. Let's talk about some evaluations. Let's talk about research. Let's talk about the evidence. Let's talk about the struggles and the wins that we are having. We should all be capable of having team meetings. And yeah, you know, I know not everyone has them because they are difficult to get together and we are all so spread thin with our caseloads and our workloads, but it is important to have those team meetings because too often as occupational therapy practitioners, especially, we are left in our 3, 5, 10 schools, and we may not see another occupational therapist for weeks or even months at a time. And by doing that, we don't have the ability to really grow, to see what others are doing. So I would encourage you to talk to your administrators if you need to and set that up. Ask them, hey, can I meet with an OT from another district even? Or if even not with the OTs, can I meet with the PT or the speech therapist? Can we have a meeting together just to get on the same page of what's going on? And maybe that leads to more collaboration. Maybe that leads to more push-in models. Maybe you decide to listen to an episode of the OT Schoolhouse together and go over a specific piece of evidence. Whatever it might be, we all need to have team meetings. All right, so that's going to wrap things up today. Man, I'm still stuck in that team meeting. I have had big ideas about this because I know many of you don't have the ability to have team meetings. I've thought about having an OT Schoolhouse team meeting where we kind of have open hours where people can come in and maybe we have a set topic that we're going to talk about. I'm really excited for doing that maybe in the future here, but it got me thinking something that I really want to do because, again, I really feel like we all need to be part of a professional learning community. You might hear the term PLC at your school. We all deserve to be a part of a learning community together. So that was letters N through T. A quick recap. We had N for notes, O for observations, P for the push-in model, Q for taking your students on a quest to combine some sessions together to cover a larger overarching goal. We had R for RTI, S for screenings as opposed to evaluations, and of course, T for team meeting. Thank you so much for taking a listen to episode 89 of the OT Schoolhouse podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes using the link in your player, your podcast player, to check out the other two or three episodes, actually, if you're listening to this a little bit later, where we covered all 26 letters of the alphabet. Next week, when the next episode comes out, we will be talking about letters U through a letter Z. There's only six of them left, so we're going to knock those out of the park, and you can learn about every single letter by heading on over to otschoolhouse.com/ABC. We'll have all 26 letters there for you and all four podcast episodes that you can listen to hear all the ABCs of school-based OT. Until then, I will see you later. Yeah, it's going to be fun. We're going to close out the ABCs of school-based OT in episode 99, and then a very special episode coming in episode 100. Take care. Have a great rest of your OT month, and I'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the OT Schoolhouse podcast. For more ways to help you and your students succeed right now, head on over to otschoolhouse.com. Until next time, class is dismissed.